In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, when your word came into this world, St. John wrote, "The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Send thy spirit that we may learn the primacy of the word and the beautiful sequence of the flesh and of action." We ask this through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is very likely that those of you who have been hearing confessions for many years have noticed a considerable change in the outlook of moral theology. Over 20 years ago, very few of us ever heard of sin against social justice. For example, I pay an insufficient wage to my maid. My employees are underpaid. That was because there was an emphasis on the individual virtue and worth and holiness, and a neglect of the social. Now, we've gone to the other extreme. We have the emphasis on the social to the neglect of the individual. Very often you prove your religion today by carrying banners, by protests, by identifying with social programs. And there are some, particularly those who are very much given to the flesh, who think that they, if they are interested in social justice, immorality really does not matter very much. Both of these extremes are wrong. And they are not only extremes in moral positions. It almost seems as if we have two kinds of churches. One, the church of evangelization. The other, the church of development. One, the church of individual sanctification, and the other, that of social action. One, the emphasis on contemplation, and the other on political directiveness. And there was a division throughout the entire Western world as regards these two churches. Is the division justified? Well, let us go to the Mount of Transfiguration for the answer. Our Blessed Lord had just been to Caesarea Philippi and had received from Peter the confirmation of his divinity. And now he takes with him Peter, James, and John to this mount. When they arrive, our Blessed Lord now becomes transfigured. I wonder if that was not his natural state. Again, natural in quotes. Divinity shining through a human nature was bound to radiate effulgence. So that it would seem he almost had to restrain this inner beauty from pouring out through the veil of his flesh. And he spoke with Moses and Elijah, The two who did not die. Moses, it seemed, did not. Moses, as a man of 120 or more, climbed up the mountain, looked back to his people. All of them had tears in their eyes, and Scripture says, "And no one knows the grave of Moses." He never got into the Holy Land, except after he died. The Lord now speaks to the law and to the prophets. About what? About his death. His exodus. The passage from the Egypt of sin to the promised land. And receives the renewal of his commission to redeem the world from his heavenly Father. Peter, James, and John are awed by this. Peter, in fact, is so struck by it that he said, "Lord, it's wonderful to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Whenever I tell that story, I always think of an old Monsignor in St. Louis who came out one morning to read Mass, and there were four candles lighted. It was a low Mass. He said to the altar boy, "I'm no bishop. This is not a high Mass. Why are there four candles lighted?" It was the Feast of the Transfiguration. The altar boy said, "Mrs. McEntee told us to light the candles. Will you go out, find Mrs. McEntee, and give her three swift kicks in the pants, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for me?" Sorry to interrupt this transcendent scene of the Transfiguration, but Peter said, "Let's build three tabernacles." And Scripture says he knew not what he said. Now remember, here is the church. Here are three members of the apostolic body. Here's our blessed Lord himself. Our Lord takes no part in the discussion, particularly with Peter. It's only the evangelist who notes that he did not know what he was saying. This represents one church. This represents those who would like everything to be rather calm, to enjoy the pieties and the niceties of religion, to stand in the glare of the divine beauty, and to be a share in the vision and understanding of the Old Testament. And also to be in and be a part of the divine commission to redeem the world, even though it meant the death of the Savior. This is one aspect of the church. It is apt to be the older aspect of the church that is content with the vision. But our blessed Lord said, "Let us go down the hill." He was reminding them that there's no such thing as capturing that transient glory. You'll have to go down this hill and you'll find something else, and then you'll climb another hill, which will be Calvary, and then you will come to the perfect glory. But not now. So he takes them down the Mount of the Transfiguration. Remember that great artistic work of Raphael, where the two scenes are both viewed together? The mountain scene with Christ in his glory and the three disciples, And then at the bottom, when the Lord comes down, there is part of the church. 9 apostles, 9 bishops. They're dealing with a social problem. Here is a distraught father with a boy who is mental, but he is the symbol of any social problem and the symbol of any father's worry. And the father goes to the church and says to the church, "Will you help this boy? This is not a religious problem that I have. It belongs in the social order. Heal him." And when our Lord comes down and finds the other part of his church, the father comes to our Lord and said, "They could not drive the devil out of my son. Will you drive him out?" And our blessed Lord said to them, "Oh, how long must I suffer you?" This is the church of development. This is the church of social action. This is the church of economic and political order. This is the church of secularity. This is the church of involvement. The other was the church of ecstasy, apartment, individual sanctification, joy, happiness, peace. And they said, "Why can we not drive him out?" The Lord almost became intolerant of them. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith. You have no faith." You are trying to build up a new world. That kind is driven out only by prayer and fasting. Which church was right? Neither. And that's the modern world. Divide it as you please. Say the church on the mountain represents the old. Say the church in the valley represents the young. Does not matter which. Both of them are ineffective. One sleeping, misinterpreting the passion of Christ. Trying to translate an emotion into a religion. Kind of Christian sarkikoi, the fleshy people, like the shakers and the holy rollers that make religion an emotional thing. And the others were dealing with the hard facts of life. And this is our divorce. Neither one was right. So if we are to build up a church for this new age, we will have to begin by putting the two together. By returning to the very fundamental doctrine that the Word became flesh. First the spiritual, then the action. Contemplata alias tradere. When Goethe's Faust was retranslating the Gospel of John, the devil could not translate that first line, "In the beginning was the Word." It belonged to the second church. so he said, in the beginning was action. In the beginning was the deed. What was the first word of our Lord's public life? Come. Come and see where I live. We come to him. We catch fire. We absorb divine truth. We become filled with the Spirit. We begin to understand how the Eucharist is extended throughout the world in human flesh. And after we have come, then we learn the last word of our Lord's public life. Go. Go into the world. Now we're prepared to go. In the last 20 years, we've had too many who went, but did not come. I gave a day of recollection for Mother Teresa's group in New York. And I asked the pastor, who was one of the wisest men about social work that I ever talked to in my life. He had been there in that locality 29 years. I said, how many apartments in this area, apartments that are over 5 stories high, would you say are completely vacant and burnt out? He said, between 70% and 80%. I said, what is your experience during these last 10, 15 years? Well, he said, we had a number of priests and sisters who just flooded our area. They were going to reform everything. They had to be involved. They'd been reading Harvey Cox. Not Mark or Luke. And he said they ran up against frustrations. Their theories didn't work out. Their idealism was defeated. They could not drive out any devils. And because they had no interior strength, they all left. If, he said, they had interior strength, if they loved Christ and the cross and the Blessed Sacrament, he said they could have taken it. As I have taken it. And as I love it. There's no point then in holding workshops to discuss one or the other point of view. Because the two must be put together. Even in the Gospel of Luke, that wonderful evangelist who is so human, the scribe of the meekness of Christ, he has been called. He tells the story of the Good Samaritan, and then what follows it? The story of Martha and Mary. In other words, all right, you who read my gospel, you love the story of the Good Samaritan, you're going out on the highways, are you? You're going to care for all of these wounded people that you pick up, and you're going to take them to a hospice? Fine. But read on. Do not become too busy. Otherwise, you might be like Martha, preparing a 1,000-island salad and gathering the salad from each of the 1,000 islands. You have to take time out to be like Mary and sit at the feet of Christ. This is the truth. And too often we have presented this as a conflict of age groups, the young and the old. It is not a conflict of age groups any more than it was on the Mount of the Transfiguration. We cannot always remain on the mountain. We have to go down into the valley. There is the ecstasy, but there are also the problems. And the two have to be kept together. Now you can understand why this retreat has been built around a holy hour. It just is not enough for us, for example, to offer the sacrifice of Christ and think that this satisfies this liturgical act. Satisfies our own personal development. In a world where we are so overbusy, the only way to describe it, we have to be fortified on the inside, not only by a sacrifice, but by a sacramental presence. Then when we go out into the world, we bring an entirely different view. Then we begin to see that there are three kinds of ills that we have to deal with. There are, first of all, handicaps. What the old Vulgate called the thorn in the flesh. The stimulus carnis, but that is not it. Actually, the Greek word is scallop. And scallop is a stake. So St. Paul had a stake impaled inside of him. What it was, we do not know. It might have been an ailment of the eyes, because he could not see well. He once struck the blind priest. And he said the Galatians would have given their eyes for him. But in any case, these are the handicaps that are imposed upon us on the inside. Or better, perhaps they come from the inside. That's one kind of ill. The other is a burden. The burden does not come from within, such as his eye trouble. The burden is thrust upon us. As the cross was thrust upon Simon of Cyrene. Come to me, all ye who are heavily burdened, and find rest for your souls. What is a cross? And how does a cross differ from a scallop, a handicap, and a burden? A cross is either but born in the name of Christ. That's the cross. All the people that we have to deal with in the world, regardless of what kind of a problem it is, either is from within the person itself. Therefore, a scallop, to use the Greek word, or a burden. What we have to do is in some way, not always to tell them, because they will not always receive the word, but always to act in such a way that they will begin to see its relationship to the cross. Now, this does not mean open evangelization. Believe me, when we go to hungry people, and people without homes, homes that are caving in, when I came here to Dublin the other day, I visited a poor family, and the woman was in a state of crisis, crying and shrieking, because it seems that someone had come in into the first floor of this poor flat and pulled out a supporting wall, and she was afraid that the whole flat was caving in. Well, one of the good priests of Whitefriars is with me. He immediately went to the commissioner. Now, there is no preaching of the gospel here. It was doing the Christ-like thing. So that when the people see us move among them, they will say, well, what kind of a man was he? He was a little different. He cast a different shadow than others. I once asked Mother Teresa, who converted 15,000 men out of the gutters of Calcutta. And I said, how, after dragging these poor mortals into your hospice, could you ever evangelize them and teach them the gospel? Well, she said, I didn't. She said, when I took care of them and showed them love, I would say to them, would you like to hear about Christ? And they would say, is Christ like you? Is Christ like you? No, she said, but I try to be like him. Then I want to be a Christian. It was that simple. That is the way action is to be done. So that they will, without ever hearing a word from us, know about us and what we stand for. Like the old woman in the Book of Kings, she said to her husband, the prophet passes here every day. He never says a word. He never preaches to us. But I know that he is a man of God, just by his actions. And that is why, when we stay close to the good Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, all the poor people that we meet, we will see their flesh as the extension of the body of Christ. Some may be interested in knowing more about it, but that's the way we will view them. And that outlook will come through to them. Then we'll be Christians. Then we'll not be in the mountain and ecstasy, and then we'll not be in the valley, impotent, ineffective. But we'll be the kind the world is looking for. Group of Russian soldiers broke into a barn not very long ago in Russia. Found hundreds of people in prayer. They said, you are violating Soviet law. Prayer is forbidden. We give you 5 minutes to leave. All who remain will be shot. Two left. The Russian soldiers threw down their guns and they said, we want to be Christians too. We only wanted to be sure that you were really Christian.